Canada looking to get in the at least 20 medals, hopefully for them. And one guy who will be one of the medal hopefuls will be in the swimming pool in the 100 meter. And he's somebody that you'll probably hear about. A very interesting article written today. Donna Spencer joins us from Rio at the 2016 Olympics. We're going to talk all things Olympics. But I want to talk, Donna, first of all, welcome to the show. And a unique article you wrote today about Santo Condorelli and a unique pre-race ritual. We know athletes have all sorts of rituals. This one's very unique. He actually gets behind the starting blocks and flips his father the bird.
Yes, he has done that. He's done that at every race that his father's been at, and it began when he was quite a young swimmer and was feeling bummed out about getting. He was competing against older, bigger swimmers and was feeling frustrated because he was getting beat. And his father, Joseph Condorelli, basically said, "You need to basically tell the world that you don't care and that you're ready to race," and basically suggested that his son, Santo, give him the finger, flip him the bird in the stands, and then Joseph would in turn give it back, and it gets Santo ready to race. He's had to tone it down in recent years, and so it's a bit more subtle than it was, I think, at one time. But yeah, it was a really fun story to do, and it sounds like Santo and his dad Joseph have a really unique relationship.
Now, would he still do it if his dad wasn't there?
I don't think so. My sense is that, but I think Joseph has been coaching him quite a bit, so his dad has been at a lot of races in his life, and Joseph will be here in Rio, so we'll see what form the finger takes, if it's just sort of a scratch between the eyes or it's a full extension, I think Santo knows the powers in the world of swimming don't love his pre-race gesture, so he said he doesn't want it to become a distraction.
Now, he finished fourth in the 100 at the World Championships last year in Russia, and he was third in a Rio test event in April. So he's a legit podium. Is he just a one-race specialist?
No, he is also. He also swims the butterfly, and he will be helping out the men's freestyle relay team as well.
Okay.
I think when you come to the Olympics, if he swims at the fastest time of his life, which every athlete wants to do when they get to the Olympics, he'll be in the mix.
Donna, Rio is now, we're less than 24 hours away from the opening ceremonies, and there was a lot of talk leading up to it that this was going to be a disaster, and we've read that in different Olympics, and then when they got there, it wasn't as bad. You've been there now for a few days. What's your first impressions?
I mean, I compare it a lot to Athens in 2004. There were certainly a lot of questions about whether that game, the country was going to be ready. I mean, at the most basic level, you need the venues, you need the security, you need the volunteers, and that seems to be in place. Certainly, it's a bit ragged around the edges right now. I'm just speaking personally from sort of a media operations standpoint, but the games will go on. There'll be some rough edges, there'll be some hiccups, but they'll happen. Athletes will compete and medals will be handed out.
Donna Spencer joins us from Rio. The 2016 Olympics officially get started tomorrow. The interesting part about this, Donna, for me, is Rio is another prime example of not just how the Olympics are run, but, the financial disasters that it can be for a lot of cities and countries once the two-week extravaganza is done. Canada experienced that with Montreal for almost 30 years till they paid it off. Greece, had huge losses. There's been many other places that have done it. There's been more of a push for people to think that maybe you get a rotating Olympics, whether it's two for each, maximum of four for each summer and winter. Do you think that's ever a realistic possibility for the IOC?
I think the IOC's mandate is inclusivity, not exclusivity. And I think the IOC sees itself as an agent of change. Well, you're not going to be that if you keep going to the same cities all the time. Certainly, you know, cities make bids years before the games. Rio won the bid back in 2009. A few years ago, Rio's economy was smoking. It was going great guns, and it has fallen off precipitously, partly because of oil prices, and certainly in Alberta, we know all about that. And so, I mean, economies, governments change, and, you know, when it comes time to host the games, there are times when the situation of the city is dramatically different than it was when it made the bid.
Well, I knew that. Like, I think their, you know, GDP was like top five in the world at the time. Now, the thing about Brazil really is there is a lot of poverty in that country, especially in some of their larger cities. That's not a surprise. And I know you talked about the exclusivity factor and moving it around to a lot of different places. And, you know, in one sense, I understand what they're doing. But the other thing is we've seen how corrupt it can be. Do you think there's any way to clean up the IOC?
Well, I think it is all about leadership, and I think there has to be a will to make the really hard decisions. And, I mean, the IOC is a money-making operation, and there's, I mean, I think you could say in sport in general, there are a lot of people who make their living from sport. There are a lot of people who make a lot of money off of sport. And for that reason, there's a reluctance to upset the apple cart too much. But I think to make real change, then unpopular, hard decisions have to be made.
What do you think are some of those unpopular, hard decisions that need to be made?
Well, certainly the most recent one was how to deal with Russia and very strong allegations of state-sponsored doping that go all the way to the top, and reluctance on the IOC's part to kick Russia out of the games entirely, because Russia is a powerful, powerful nation in the world.
Well, now, what do you make of that? How many different sports have banned Russia? Do you have a final? Is there a final tally yet on that?
Well, the situation is still somewhat fluid. Right now, the Olympic track team, the Russia's Olympic track team, the weightlifting team are banned. But that, to be clear, the International Olympic Committee did not ban them. Mm-hmm. The IOC left it up to the World Federations. So the world governing body of track and field suspended the entire Russian track team, and the International Weightlifting Federation suspended their weightlifting team. There are some other athletes who have been suspended, but there are still a lot of appeals going on. So, I mean, Russia will have a team here. There probably will be some prominent athletes not competing in the games, but Russia will still have probably over 200 athletes competing in these games.
Donna Spencer from the Canadian Press joins us from Rio at the 2016 Olympics, which officially get going tomorrow. Donna, you had your great story on a guy who I think obviously is a serious medal contender in Santo Condorelli, having finished fourth in the Worlds and third in a warm-up test race in April. We know a few of the top, you know, decathlon, heptathlon, women's soccer, the rugby sevens, or some track and field. We have a few. Are there any athletes that you've been doing research on that you're intrigued to watch, that Canadian viewers should be looking at to follow?
Well, I think I'm going to be at the swimming pool all of next week, and certainly Ryan Cochran is the man to watch there. But Canada has a very big and deep women's team, and very strong in women's freestyle. So I think Saturday, keep an eye on that women's 4x100 freestyle relay team. They definitely have a shot at a medal.
Okay. And overall, like Rio itself, you talked about maybe there's some, you know, logistics media-wise and stuff, but what about the overall layout of the events? Is it? Have you talked to people who maybe toured around? Does it look like it's somewhat fluid as far as fans wanting to go from event to event, or is that going to be a major concern?
Well, I think right now it's a major concern. I think they've been testing a new metro line, new subway line that runs out here to where I am at the Barra Olympic Park, but there's four different hubs of venues. And so I think there are concerns right now about how people are going to get around, and I expect hiccups. Usually a few days into the games, those wrinkles get smoothed out pretty quickly. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how people get around.
Well, Donna, we appreciate your time. Great article on Condorelli, and hopefully in the best fashion, he will be flipping his dad the bird just before the final, the 100-meter freestyle.
Have a great night.